You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 11th of January. Oh my, Spurs, Thunder, don't do me like that. Anybody play point guard? A week ago, we talked about Donovan. Oops. Lakers coming to town and a points gained Friday. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, things you can't get anywhere else about your favorite NBA team, the Utah Jazz. And did you know that if you have one of those brand new smart speakers, all you have to do is tell them to play podcast Locked On Jazz. And if you're a League Pass subscriber, activate your NBA skill on Alexa, and then you can play Utah Jazz basketball on Alexa during games. All right, hope you're doing great. Thanks so much for tuning in to the program today. It's brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai and Iron Gate Global Advisors. We got a bunch of stuff to talk about. One quick note on yesterday's show. Thank you so much for the nice notes that a bunch of people dropped me. In no way, shape, or form did I think that the vocal minority was the majority. I just think that the vocal minority had reached a point where it was negatively impacting my ability to do this show correctly and it was impacting me. Shouldn't allow that. The other aspect of this, I would say, that I think is really important is kind of, I've always believed this when you're a talk show host, you can't blow in the wind. I should know as radio voice of the team, hopefully most knowledgeable person in the market on the team, what is important to talk about and what's not, and should not be lured into conversations that are not as important by the vocal minority. Like I don't dislike the vocal minority, but I should be good enough at my job that I am talking about what I think is important because it is the most important thing, not being blowing in the wind. It's kind of like the old talk show host who used to, all right, open phone lines, you choose the topics. Like, well, then I can probably choose them to do the job. All right, let's get to it though. Anybody watch Spurs Thunder last night? I mean, that was really incredible. I have never seen LaMarcus Aldridge, now it's a career high, so maybe this is intuitively obvious, that aggressive. I mean, really unbelievably aggressive, lowering the shoulder, bogarting people to the rack, playing just with a pizzazz, 56. Last night was the power of superstars. I mean, Russ was great. I'm not a big Russ guy, but boy, was he great last night. 24 assists. He was actually shot at 11 of 22, played 50 minutes. It is worth watching. DeRozan, Aldridge, White, Paul George, Russell Westbrook, who all went over 47 last night. An offensive explosion. Both offensive ratings were over 127. Like, if you didn't watch that game, go grab the Google, 9-minute recap. I don't know who puts that out, maybe NBA. It's, do that. It was incredible. The one other thing that jumped out about that game, and it's kind of where I feel like we are as a franchise right now, or what we need, is they're both in that game. It was such an offensive game. But both of those teams now have individuals that, to me, have taken dramatic strides and become different players than they were when the year started. And I don't know who that is for us. Frankly, it was Joe Ingles last year. But Jeremy Grant is a different player for Oklahoma City than he was a year ago. He's and only really because Carmelo negated him. If you remember listening to this show a year ago, I really thought, put Jeremy Grant out there before they sign Carmelo, let him play power forward, they'll be the best defensive team in the league. I had picked them second in the West. I didn't realize how good the Rockets were going to be. And I had them exploding. At the time, Jeremy Grant was this kind of middling three-point shooter, shot about 46%, wasn't a good two-point shooter, just was a great athlete. Now he's just a really good player. He's shooting 53% from the field. He's three-point shooting is adequate. He's really good. So, and that was a great pickup by Sam Presti. So OKC's had this jump from Jeremy Grant. I knew this was coming if you watched him in Summer League. I liked him a ton out of the draft. There's nothing surprising about this. I guess there was nothing surprising to me about Jeremy Grant. I guess I'm just perfect in my player analysis. Probably not. Derek White. So the Spurs have changed since Derek White came back. And Derek White has brought them. Now, with the DeJounte Murray injury, Derek White came back and changed everything. If you go, Derek White plays 30 minutes on November 10th, I think it was. I was looking at it last night. It was kind of the first time he really played, and then he was in and out of the lineup for a little bit. And then he played just 8 minutes against the Lakers in mid-December. So if you look at since December 9th when he played 30 against us, they're the number one offensive team in the league. I think if you take it back to November 10th, when he kind of kicked in, they're the number one offensive team in the league as well. He has brought a stability and a point guard position. Bryn Forbes is good as a shooter. But when Bryn Forbes had to play point guard, they really, and then rely on Patty Mills, they were really, really limited. But since the Spurs are fourth, fifth best since November 10th, Rockets, Pelicans, Celtics, Nuggets, Spurs. If you go to December 10th, or whatever, you know, take it a month ago, and White kicks in, then the Spurs are the number one offense in the NBA. But White's changed everything for them. Great pickup for them. 29th pick of that draft. Super player. Just so solid. Plays the game right. Gets them into the right spots. Just everything Spursian. So they're both teams right now are with huge stars, DeRozan, Aldridge, Westbrook, George, are getting a bounce from another player. Do we have that guy? Do we have somebody who can take a bounce for us? Like, I think it was Dante, right? I think it's Dante. Like, that's what we need. We need it to be, you know, someone, and really can only be Dante. And Dante was doing it. So that's what jumped out to me watching that game last night. That's a lead. You got to talk about that game. That was incredible. What a game. Sacramento keeps a solid win last night. Denver, actually, I thought Denver's win over the Clippers last night was crazy impressive also. Like, they're just pummeling people right now. They are really good. 17-3 at home. And they just blasted him, and they still don't have Gary Harris. Jazz don't have any point guards. Howell Neto is now injured. How did we get here? So what do the Jazz do tonight? The Jazz will have to play, I'm guessing, Donovan Mitchell as your starting point guard. So we're going to go to the Royce O'Neal starts with Joe Ingles. I mean, the only thing I would say, and I don't know whether Quinn would do this, I might consider just starting over. Like, just look at this team and say to yourself, all right, because everyone's at least a week. And maybe he's doing this. So for the next week, my point guard is Donovan Mitchell. My backup point guard is Joe Ingles. My starting shooting guard is Royce O'Neal. My starting small forward is probably Joe Ingles also, so he's playing both those. My starting power forward, maybe I have to start dropping Jay Crowder into small forward positions. And I'm going to have to play Derek Moore at the four and Roy and play up. I don't know. Maybe I'm going to invert the whole thing and play Naz Long as a shooting guard with Joe Ingles as my... It's really crazy. We are at the point, I believe, where we could claim a hardship and ask for another player. Now, it's got to be someone that actually is good. I love somebody sent me, what about Darren on a 10-day? Okay, it sounds like the silliest thing ever, and I don't even know if it is. Like, I doubt it. Like, he's kind of checked out and he's retired. But we're that desperate right now. Like, it's that insane. We're without three point guards. It's, frankly, it's bad enough when you're just, you know, losing first 48 minutes was the big deal. But how are you piecing this together? Maybe Kyle Korver starts with Royce O'Neal. And Joe Ingles now all of a sudden comes off the bench as your backup point guard. But you know he's playing 32 minutes. I have no idea. Maybe Tyler Kavanaugh is the game of his life. I have no idea. Does Jay Crowder have to play three because Joe Ingles? What are you doing for your 48 minutes? All right, so Donovan's going to play 36 minutes of point guard, and Joe Ingles is playing the other 12. I think that's the answer. So what are you doing for your backup small forward minutes? Or what are you doing for your shooting guard minutes? So let's say you're doing Royce O'Neal and Kyle Korver for your shooting guard minutes. Joe Ingles is playing 32 minutes tonight, probably 34. So he's playing 22 at small forward, 12 at point guard. What are we doing for the other 14 small forward minutes? We don't have Tabo. He can't slide down. Jay? Is Jay sliding down? And then Epe's playing 14 minutes at backup center and Favors playing 30 minutes at our big lineup that can't score against a really good defensive team? Woo, Nelly. Not sure I have answers here. Lakers are on deck. Who are they? What do they look like? How are they playing? Let's talk about them. Today's show brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street. Murdoch Hyundai's bringing you all of the great things in the 2019 year. I'm driving the Hyundai Santa Fe, the new version, super sweet, great size inside, all the safety features, every detail. They've got the new door. Your back door recognizes if a car is coming. So if your kid tries to open up the door in an unsafe environment, it vacuum packs shut and saves your kid's life. I mean, what incredible features. Lane assist, adaptive cruise control. I love it. Absolutely love it. Drive it all the time. Absolutely adore having all of these safety features. Makes the drive so much more relaxed and great. And you get the Murdoch experience of 91 years of Murdoch and Utah's connection. The no regrets experience that is what Murdoch is all about. It's all at Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street. Let me tell you also about Iron Gate Global Advisors. Iron Gate Global Advisors is a Salt Lake financial group that's got a unique combination of talent. Spencer Nelson, former Utah State Aggie, is now working with them. That's how I found out about him.
It's probably worth noting, Spencer's not just a hoop guy. He's got an MBA, accounting and finance degrees, worked in private equity, worked in Wall Street. Super smart dude. Anyway,
got two guys leading this crew. Brian, who's a former Utah State guy, longtime investment management. He's the chief investment officer. And then there's Brett,
who Spencer tells us about.
Brett has a very cool background, which includes an opportunity he had to work with an option shop in Chicago named Thinkorswim, which is a very well-known options trading shop in the options world. He brings that unique skill set to Iron Gate, which adds another component to Brian's active management and being able to use options as an asset class to provide protection in down markets and generate income when markets are doing well or flat. Being able to combine myself and Brett and Brian's background and skill sets provides kind of a perfect marriage that really differentiates Iron Gate Global Advisors and provides real value to our clients.
Find out more about Iron Gate by calling Spencer at 888-591-0334. That's 888-591-0334 or email Spencer at spencer@igga.com. That's spencer@igga.com.
Anytime we're talking investing, please understand that past performance isn't indicative of future results.
Also, options may not be for everyone. They have different risks. Make sure you consult a professional before doing anything with them. Do your due diligence.
All right, the Lakers come to town. They're 3-5 without LeBron. They are 23-19 on the season. What's really relevant, frankly, is what they are without LeBron, right, at this point? Isn't that what we're kind of looking at? Kyle Kuzma's coming off a 40-point no-assist game. He's averaging 22 points a game since LeBron's gone out. They've beat the Pistons, the Mavericks, and the Kings. They've lost to Sacramento, Clippers, Thunder, Knicks, and Timberwolves. And they are very fortunate. They have us today, limited, and then they have Cleveland and Chicago next. Now they got to win those games, which I think they will. I think they're good enough right now that they win those games. Since LeBron's gone out, they are the fifth best defensive team in the league. It's pretty impressive. So a lot of discussion about Luke Walton and what he can and can't do. And I'll tell you what, the fact that the Lakers are always good defensively is impressive to me in Luke Walton's coaching. They are the eighth best defensive team overall. Since LeBron's gone out, they're the fifth best defensive team. They can't score right now. They're 28th in offensive efficiency in the last eight games without LeBron. What's interesting is their number one piece of play team. So they play the most possessions in the league in transition. We defend and force teams out of transition more than any team in the league. That's where our season changed, in my opinion. Was in LA when we finally got back and played transition defense again. But we make people play the most half-court possessions of anyone in the league 82% of the time. And the Lakers play the third fewest half-court possessions. So that's where this game will be decided. They're the eighth best shooting team in the NBA, except for since LeBron's been out there, 24th. What's interesting is since LeBron's been out, they go to the line more. So we got to not foul. They're the second best team in the league in defending the shot. It's really surprising. They have the second best defensive effective field goal percentage. How? They allow you to get at the rim and then they make you miss. They're 28th in the league at denying shots at the rim. So you can get to the rim at them. They allow 39% of shots at the rim. Teams are only making 58.8%. League average is close to 65%. They don't let you get a lot of threes off. They're 11th in the league at denying threes and they defend them very well. And they've been a little fortunate on mid-range misses. They have you at 38% on mid-range shots. They'll go up to 40. That'll hurt them a little bit. But last year, they were 10th in the league in effective field goal percentage defense. I mean, Luke's, you know, when they were terrible before that, they were awful. But Luke's got them, they're defending a little bit, to Luke's credit. Their defense last year was 14th in the league, but for periods of time was much better. That's the key to this game tonight will be whether or not the Jazz can keep them in the half court, and then even with our weaknesses of lack of guys, so fatigue's an issue at that point. Can we, you know, get back defensively, play with that kind of pizzazz? And then this is another night where we have to have another great defensive night. Like, if we're going to win games right now without Dante and Ricky, and we're going to have brilliant defensive nights, holding them the way we did the Lakers to the Magic to, like, 96.1 defensive rating. I mean, it has to be that they are not a great offensive team without LeBron, and we put them at under 100 points per possession. That's the only way we can survive. If you look at the Lakers' offensive ratings recently, and in that eight games, you'll see that that's something that teams, you know, that's how you're going to beat them. And when the Lakers are under, don't have a lot of fast break points, you're all right. Lakers' offensive ratings recently, since LeBron went out on Christmas, they had a 108 against Sacramento, then they had a 96 against the Clippers, a 111 against the Kings, who they beat, an 89 against the Thunder, who they lost to, 100 against the Knicks, who they lost to, 79 against Minnesota, 98 against Dallas, then 117 they really scored against Detroit, who just might not have been defending. And they have not been, their defense is rated well because they had some great nights. They were great against the Thunder. They were great against the Mavericks. They were great on Christmas Day. That's kind of how they've been surviving. Their fast break points, percentage of fast break points, when they against Dallas was 32%. Against the Thunder was 27%. They've been over 10% virtually every game all year but two. The Jazz are great when they keep them teams under 10%. They're at 14% against us last time. That's what we have to do. Without LeBron, Kuzma's leading the way 22 a game. Ingram 17 a game. Neither of them shooting the three well, both below 30%. Lonzo's 12.6 rebounds, 7 assists, shooting 45% from the field. KCP is averaging 14, Michael Beasley 12, Josh Hart 11. So Kuzma's lead dog, and then a lot of balance, a lot of offensive skills. Michael Beasley's actually playing very well for them. I don't know how the Jazz get through 240 minutes tonight, is my question. I don't have it. Unless Naz Long plays 12 at point guard. And then you're keeping Joe, but I don't think that's going to happen. Reminder, you can get this podcast or any of your other podcasts by telling your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On Jazz or Locked On NBA. Anthony Irwin, Sam Amick are Locked On NBA show today. All right, let's do a points gained. Remember, it was a week ago we talked about how maybe we're going to have to just accept the inefficiency of Donovan Mitchell. He's been a little more efficient since then, played less good teams. He is still, in the last 10 games, a minus 1.6. Interesting, isn't it? He's going to line 7% of the times. To be efficient, that number's got to pop back up. The Jazz offensive uptick, you can almost look at Kyle Korver to Alec Burks. Kyle Korver is a positive 0.7. Alec Burks was like a negative 0.3. It's like a one difference. It matters. The thing that's interesting on the Jazz right now that I always talk about is, can you get everyone to average? So Rudy's well above average because of his dunking. Rubio was right at average before the hamstring. Joe Ingles is actually below average, but we know that's not going to last. And Donovan was at minus 1.6. So if Donovan can click a little bit closer to average, you got to have a high usage guy or else you just don't have enough possessions used to let everybody else play in their role. That's Donovan's role. That's fine. That's why him not being average isn't as big a deal. You'd like it eventually, but it's not as big a deal. But if everybody else can be average, we can be a decent team. All right, who's hot in the league? And then we'll do it backwards. Probably the biggest story in the league is Thomas Bryant out of Washington. I don't know if you're following this. He's playing 25 minutes a night. He's shooting 72%. He is the third best points gained player in the NBA the last 10 games. It's making a huge difference on who Washington is. It's really crazy. But, like, Washington's winning some games, doing some things. This is a huge reason why. The 10 hottest players in the league, Kawhi Leonard and Joel Embiid at 4.6, Thomas Bryant at 4.0, Marcus Morris, who pushed Jaylen Brown last night, at 3.6, Danilo Gallinari, 3.6, Anthony Davis, 3.3, Joe Harris in Brooklyn, 3.2, Rashawn Holmes in Phoenix. John Collins continues. John Collins in Atlanta is a story. Last 10 games, 19 points, 12 rebounds, 2 assists, 59% from the field, 55% from three. Derek White, who we talked about earlier, 2.9. It's big. J.J. Redick, D.J. Augustine, Steph Curry, DeAndre Ayton, Lou Williams, LeBron James, Rudy Gobert, Jeff Teague, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Domantas Sabonis, all are plus two or more. Harden's 2.4, slowing down a little bit. Brogdon, 2.4, was great against us. Jokic, Durant, Daniel House, Houston, Miles Turner, Montrezl Harrell, LaMarcus Aldridge, Taj Gibson, Karl-Anthony Towns, and Yusuf Nurkic are all two or better in the last 10 games. That's a large amount. Coldest players in the league? Russell still after last night. Minus 5. Wow. Dennis Schroeder, minus 4. Colin Sexton, minus 3.6. Trevor Ariza in Washington, minus 3.3. Justin Holiday now in Memphis, minus 3.1. J.J. Barea, minus 3. Stanley Johnson, minus 2.6. Alex Len. Josh Okogie. Emmanuel Mudiay. Dwayne Wade. Derrick Rose, only 3 games, though. Andre Drummond, how are you that big in a minus 2? Rudy's like plus 3. Andrew Wiggins, minus 1.9, even despite his great game. For the season, your top 10 offensive players, Steph Curry, 4.2. James Harden, 3.3. Pretty big jump. Giannis, 3.0. Incredible. Kevin Durant, 3.0. Rudy Gobert, 2.5. Kawhi Leonard, 2.4. Domantas Sabonis, 2.4. Why Indiana's winning. Danilo Gallinari, 2.3. John Collins, 2.3. Clint Capella, 2.2. Montrezl Harrell, 2.1. Pascal Siakam. Marcus Morris in Boston. Anthony Davis, Joe Harris, and LeBron James. Here's an interesting one that was pointed out to me. DeAndre Ayton is a 1.8. Positive. Incredible for a rookie. Luka Doncic, who is going to win the Rookie of the Year running away, is a 0.2, which is incredible for a rookie, but DeAndre Ayton's having a much more positive offensive impact on his possession usage than Luka is, which, you know, may not make that as bad a pick as everyone thinks. Your Jazz players for the season, I didn't really explain points gained today, so hopefully you're a long timer. I did apologize for those new listeners. Points gained is your points above points you score above what an average player would with the same amount of possessions. Points gained, the amount of points you score above or below an average player with the same amount of scoring opportunities. So Gobert is 2.5. Favors, 1.2. Korver, 0.7. Neto, 0.5. Udo, 0.6. Tabo, 0.3. Jay Crowder, Royce O'Neal are absolutely even, which is good. Joe Ingles is now slightly below average for the year at negative 0.1. Dante Exum, negative 0.3. Grayson Allen, negative 0.8. Ricky Rubio, minus 1.2. Donovan, minus 2. That is Locked On Jazz with a very tired voice. Have a great weekend. Friday and Saturday, we're home. Enjoy yourself. Thanks for tuning in. Go grab Locked On NBA. You can tell a smart speaker to play it. Have a great day.